Do you live in a state of worry? If so, why? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Now, when we worry, we say to God, "You say that you're going to take care of me, but I don't believe it. Your promises are hollow. Lord, I don't think you're able." That's what worry says to God. "God, you're not able," or "God, you don't care." How do you think that feels to God, the King of the universe, who owns everything, who can do anything, who loves us with an everlasting love? When we worry and we say to God through our worry, "Evidently things have gotten beyond your control, Lord, because you're not able to take care of me."
How often do you think the average Christian tells God that God is not able, or he doesn't care, or things have gotten beyond his control? Well, if you ask them, most might claim that they would never even think of saying such a thing to God. But is this really the message we're sending God when we have anxiety over even the smallest things in our lives? Today we're going to begin to learn why worry in the lives of believers is both harmful and wrong. This is From His Heart, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Jeff Shreve. And every day we open God's Word, and we share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Now, over the last 2 weeks, we've been in a transformational series entitled A New Lease on Life. Today, the last lesson in this series is titled No Worries, and we'll do our part today to help that come true in your life. Now, this may seem impossible not to worry, but you surely can diminish the number of times you do worry and the depth of your worry if you'll listen today and Monday and apply these truths to your life, letting the Spirit be your guide. Turn now to Luke chapter 12. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with part one of the message, No Worries.
In 1988, a relatively unknown musician wrote a song. It was an interesting little song. It was a song with a message. It was a song that was totally a cappella. He did every harmony, every part of the song. Everything was this one guy. Well, he released this little song, this unknown musician, and as soon as it hit the airwaves, it just shot up to the top. It was number one on the Billboard Top 100 for several weeks. When they had the Grammys for the songs of 1988, it won Best Song of the Year. Perhaps you remember the little song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." You know, way before he wrote that song in 1988, God was saying to his children, "Don't worry. Do not be anxious for your life." Now, we live in a world today that is filled with people who are filled with worry, just filled with worry and anxiety. No peace at all, just worry. We live in a world where people, they live their lives kind of like that deep sea diver who got the message on his headset, "Come up quick, the ship is sinking." You know, it's just, well, what do you do with that kind of a message? And you're just anxious, and lots of people are anxious in life. Jesus said, "Don't be anxious about life." Are you here today anxious? Anxious about your family? Worried about your marriage? Worried about your parents? Worried about maybe a divorce is going to hit your family? Maybe you're here and you're worried about your health? Worried because you're waiting to get a test result back and you're so worried that they're going to come back and say you have cancer. Oh, and you're just so anxious about that. Tons of people are anxious right now about the economy because they're watching the doom and gloom fellas on TV and all things are just so horrible and so terrible. And they're just thinking, oh no, the crash is coming and my life is coming to an end and I'm going to lose everything I have. Do you have that kind of anxiety? Lots of people are worried about the future. worried about terrorism. Lots of single people are so anxious because they're still single. Lots of women, they feel their biological clock just ticking away, and they're anxious. Where is Mr. Right? I can't find him. So many single guys, where is Miss Right? I can't find her. And your heart can get anxious. The Lord doesn't want us to live worried and anxious and bothered. He wants us to live no worries. He wants us to live without worries and cares, free from anxiety. And if you are one who struggles with worry, this sermon, if you listen to it, if you apply it, the Word of God as we study it, it can set you free and break the chains of worry. We've been in a series the last 8 weeks called A New Lease on Life. And today we want to close out this series with a message I've simply entitled, No Worries. Luke chapter 12, I'll begin reading in verse 22. And he, Jesus, said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, as to what you shall eat, nor for your body, as to what you shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, and they have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds! And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why are you anxious about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? And do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek first his kingdom, and these things shall be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourself purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I want us to look today, as we study the subject of worry and anxiety, look at two simple questions. Question number one, why is it so wrong to worry? Why is it so, what's the big deal about worry? I think most people consider worry as, yeah, it's probably not the best thing for me to do, but it sure is not a wrong thing for me to do. Worry's not that bad. It's not in the Ten Commandments. God never says thou shalt not worry in the Ten Commandments. Now, it's not like lying or stealing or adultery or taking the Lord's name in vain. It's not a sin like that. Hey, worry is a big deal. Worry is a bad, bad thing. And you and I are not supposed to do it. Let me give you three reasons why worry is so wrong and why it's so wrong to worry. Reason number one, worry is harmful. It's harmful. You know, when God created you and me, he did not create us to be creatures that can handle worry. Worry will do to your body what sand does to machinery. If you put sand in your gas tank, in your car, you're going to have all sorts of mechanical problems because the car wasn't built to handle sand in it. The fuel, if it has sand in it, it's going to gum up the engine and it's not going to work anymore. You weren't made to handle worry. Worry is a harmful thing. The word worry that's used, translated anxiety, translated worry, verse 22 says, "Do not be anxious for your life. Don't worry about your life." That word in the Greek literally means to divide the mind, to tear apart. And that's what worry does. It divides the mind and it tears apart. It's the picture in the Old English of a dog who grabs onto a shoe or a slipper. He bites it and then he jerks it right and left. Have you ever seen that with a dog? It's just innate in dogs. We have two dogs at home, and our dog Rocky, that Debbie's always buying him toys. I hate spending money like that for it. Oh, I got Rocky a new bone. You know, like a stuffed animal. She buys the dog stuffed animals. Well, he loves them. He loves to grab them. He loves to play that game where I hold it and he grabs it and he goes back and forth. You ever seen him do that? That's what worry is. And that's the picture, the old English word of worry. It pictured a dog grabbing onto a shoe or a slipper and going back and forth until he tears it apart. That's what worry does inside. It tears you apart. Verse 29 says, "And do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink, and do not keep worrying." That word that is used for worrying there was used to picture a ship in a storm, where it would go up and it would go down. It literally means to rise on high, to be held in suspense. A ship in a terrible storm will be battered by the storm until it eventually breaks apart if the storm does not cease. And that's what happens to you and me when we're anxious and when we worry. Worry is harmful. But not only is worry harmful, reason number two, why should you not worry? Because it's harmful, because it's wasteful. Because it's wasteful. Jesus said in Luke 12, 25 and 26 in the New Living Translation, "Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like this, what's the use of worrying over bigger things?" I mean, what good is worry? That's what Jesus was saying. What does it accomplish when you and I worry? When we're anxious about something? When we're torn apart about something? How does that help you? Has worry ever solved a problem? No. Has worry ever dried a tear? No. Worry makes things worse. It doesn't make things better. That's in the little Bobby McFerrin song. In every life, you have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. It just makes things worse. There's a little poem I like that says this: "For every evil under the sun, either there's a cure or there is none. If there be one, seek till you find it. If there be none, never mind it." Two things you should never worry about: those things that you can do something about and those things you can't do anything about. Hey, if you can do something about it, do it. If you can't, forget it. It is totally useless. It's a waste of time. Worry is harmful. Worry is wasteful. Worry is sinful. Oh, we don't like to think about it like that. Oh, it might not be the best thing for me to do, but Jeff, is it really sinful? Well, yeah, I mean, when Jesus said, "Don't worry, don't be anxious," and when he says in verse 29, "Do not keep worrying," that's not a suggestion. That's a command. Don't do this. Now, why is it sinful? Well, worry gives us a perverted view of life. Jesus said in verse 23, "For life is more than food and the body than clothing." Now, he was speaking to people who were not well off. These were just the common people. And many of them, I mean, it was day to day as far as food and clothing and things like that. And he says, listen, don't be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Those were the things that they were worried about. Now, I don't imagine anyone in here, or very few in here probably, are really worried today about what you shall eat, or if you're going to be able to clothe yourself. Well, we don't worry about those specific things, food and clothing, as much as we worry about provision. You know, you kind of put the broader term. We worry about finances. Guys worry to death about keeping their jobs and being able to make enough. And they look at their bank account very closely. And when things get tight at work, if you're a salesman and things are tight and you're not making your sales, you begin to worry about that. And Jesus said, listen, life is so much more than what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. So much more than physical provision. And we tend to look at life just in terms of physical provision. We make it just seem so huge. Everything is about the physical. And Jesus said, that's not true. Life consists more of your possessions. That's what he told the people when they were all hung up in greed. That not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. So worry causes you, when you worry about provision and physical things, it causes you to look at life in a perverted, distorted way. I read about a woman who had gone through a terrible fire in California. And they interviewed this woman. The TV crews were there. Her house was burned down. And she said, oh, it is so terrible. It is so horrible. They caught her at her worst moment. She said, we had lived in that house for 30 years. We lost everything. Our whole life is gone. Is that all life was for her? What was in the house? They interviewed another man who had gone through a fire. And he said this, we lost our house. And it's very devastating, but it's just a house. We still have our lives. See, he was able to put it in perspective. And worry, what it does to us, it causes us to think those things, stuff, make up life. Stuff doesn't make up life. So it gives us a distorted view of life. Have you ever noticed the things that we worry about? So many of them. They don't ever come true. I mean, the things that we think, oh, that we dread and that our stomach gets tied up in knots, that we have ulcers over and high blood pressure over and, oh, we can't sleep and insomnia. Many of those things don't ever come true. There was a statistic done that said this, 40% of the things we worry about never happen. 40%. 30% of the things we worry about can't be changed. 12% of the things we worry about are criticisms by other people, mostly untrue. 10% have to do with health concerns, and your health worsens as you worry, so that doesn't help you any. 8% of the things we worry about are real legitimate things that we need to address and work on. Not worry about, but just work on. 8% of all the things we worry about. How many times have you been awakened in the middle of the night, hearing a noise? Uh-oh, what was that? I think Jason from Friday the 13th has come over. You ever do that? Man, when I was a kid, I would take a shower and I would just know that Norman Bates was gonna be coming over with his knife going through the shower curtain. I mean, I would just be getting so out of the shower so quick so I could beat Norman, you know? I mean, we just worry about dumb stuff. We get afraid about dumb stuff. And so much of the stuff that we worry about, we don't even remember down the road. I had a really bad problem when I was in college, especially my senior year, worrying about tests and worrying about classes. And I just couldn't seem to shake that worry. And it was just anxiety. And, oh, I got this test and I have this paper to do. And, oh. You know, when I look back at that now, I can't even remember half the classes I took in college. I mean, how big a deal was that? Seemed big at the time, it really wasn't very big. See, it distorts life. Did you know, very interesting, a fog, a dense fog that would be 100 feet deep that could engulf a 7-block area, city block area. Do you know how much water is in that fog? Less than a glass of water. It's water broken into millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of particles. It just seems like, wow, this is everywhere. This is so huge. It's less than a glass of water. That's the actual substance of that fog. See, worry is sinful because it distorts life. And it distorts our view of life. But worse than that, it distorts our view and perverts our view of God. Look what he says in verse 24. He says, consider the ravens. The ravens were the scavenger birds. They didn't sell ravens because no one wanted to buy a raven. That's a scavenger bird. That wasn't like the other birds that he talks about. The ravens. Oh, consider the ravens. Oh, the ravens. He said, hey, Did you know your Heavenly Father feeds the ravens? The birds that you guys won't even buy and sell because they're scavenger birds, your Father takes care of them. They neither sow nor reap, and they have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. Now, when we worry, we say to God, God, you know, you may take care of scavenger birds, but I don't think you take care of sons and daughters. How absurd is that? God, you know, your promises are not true. God, I think you're a liar. You say that you're going to take care of me, but I don't believe it. Your promises are hollow. Lord, I don't think you're able. That's what worry says to God. God, you're not able. Or God, you don't care. See, Lord, maybe you want to help me, but you just don't have power to do it. Or maybe, Lord, you have power to help me, but you just don't love me enough to help me. And worry is just a terrible thing because of what it says to God.
As children of God, we would never want to make the accusation that our Heavenly Father is a liar or that He doesn't care about us. But logically, this is really what our actions say when we worry about something. When Pastor Jeff Shreve returns on From His Heart in just a moment, he'll give a powerful illustration of how worry is a wound to the heart of God. Today's message is entitled, No Worries. Now, it's going to be edited for time, but the full-length message is available on CD, DVD, or MP3 download. And this message is also one of 8 messages in a very popular series from Pastor Jeff entitled, A New Lease on Life. Call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, and request the series, A New Lease on Life. You can also go to fromhisheart.org, and it's available on a USB flash drive, on CDs, DVDs, or as an immediate MP3 download. And when you visit us online, we also hope that you'll consider a special gift from His Heart Ministries this month to help us to continue to maintain and expand our reach for this ministry around the world. Now, with your gift, we'll say thanks by sending you Pastor Jeff's new series, The Greatest of These is Love, a brand new 5-message series that'll recalibrate your understanding of how you should love God's way. Again, call 866-40-BIBLE or go to fromhisheart.org. Now let's get back to the message, No Worries. Here again is Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Could you imagine, you who have children, if you were to come home one day, some of you guys come home from work and see your children there, and they would be upstairs or in their rooms or in the den somewhere. They're sniveling, they're crying, they're wringing their hands. Their brow is all furrowed. They're just so worried and upset. And you say, kids, what's wrong? Well, nothing's wrong yet, Dad, but we're just afraid that we're not going to have any food to eat tonight. We're afraid, Dad, that we're not going to have a place to live tomorrow. We're just so concerned that we're going to lose it all and that we're going to be out on the street. How would that make you feel as a dad? Wow. You have that little faith in your dad that I would let you go hungry, that I wouldn't provide for you? How do you think that feels to God, the King of the universe, who owns everything, who can do anything, who loves us with an everlasting love? When we worry and we say to God through our worry, evidently things have gotten beyond your control, Lord, because you're not able. I don't believe you're able to take care of me. Worry gives a perverted view of God.
Well, we pray the message today called No Worries has been a blessing to you and that you'll be here Monday for part 2. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be here next week, Monday, when Pastor Jeff will again open God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. There is truth, there is truth, there is love. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out about it. Go to fromhisheart.com. www.thewordofgod.org.